Grace you in peace in the name of our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I was at one of my daughter's soccer games some time back in which her team was ahead, but they weren't really playing that well. And as the game wore on and the girls began to wear out, all the parents from Micah's team started cheering for them to just hang on. Our team didn't have any extra players like the other team had. And so as the game wore on, you could see that the balance of power in control of the game was shifting throughout the game. And thus the parents were watching the clock intently. Just 10 minutes. Come on, hang on, 10 minutes. Come on, hang on there. It's only 5 minutes left. Come on, you can do it. 2 minutes, just 2 minutes. You're almost there. 1 minute left. Ha! We won! It fascinated me as the game wore on and as our girls wore out that the parents of the girls on my daughter's team quit cheering for their girls to score or to make great passes or to advance the ball. They simply cheered for the girls to hang on until time would run out. With their energy waning, it seemed like their only hope of winning was for the game to come to an end sooner rather than later. The longer that the game went on, the more difficult it was for our girls to hang on. But if they could just hang in there and just hold on to their lead and endure those last few attacks on their team, they would walk away with the victory. It all kind of reminded me of our gospel reading this morning from Mark chapter 13. We are in the last few Sundays of the church year. And so all of our readings have to do with the end times. And this reading from Mark, along with our Old Testament reading from Daniel, are both stark reminders of the difficulties that will be experienced by God's people on this earth as the end of the world approaches. Daniel speaks of a time of such great distress that it will be worse than this world had ever previously seen. Think about that for a moment. Daniel's writing at a time that is after the flood. It's after the exile in Egypt. I mean, they've been through some tough times. The world has. And yet he says that the distress will be worse than the world has ever previously seen. And Mark expounds on Daniel's words by telling of wars and false Christs and societal divisions and earthquakes and famines and such. He goes on to speak of the persecutions and the betrayals that God's children will experience, both from society in general and also from within one's own family. And he says that God's people will be hated because of their association with Jesus. And then he closes with these words of solace. But he who holds on to the end will be saved. Now, as you might have noticed in the reading that we had there from Mark 13, the way it was translated, some English translations say here that he who stands firm till the end will be saved. But I don't like that translation because the Greek word here carries with it more the idea of just endurance. Or steadfastly waiting, or hanging on through the suffering. And thus the thought here is not so much that one stands as a pillar of strength, confidently moving through this life, unfazed by the world and all of its rapid decline. but rather in the midst of the suffering and the persecution and the betrayal and the distress and the desolation and the danger, in the midst of all of it, that you just continue to hang on to Jesus. And that person who hangs on to Jesus, who just clings on to him for dear life, that's the person who will be saved. He will be the victor, and he will receive the crown of everlasting life. That's what Jesus meant in Revelation 2, verse 10, when he said, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." He didn't mean that if you continue to lead a godly life, that you never have any doubts or fears or failures, that you stand firm, that you dominate, you control life. He meant simply that you hang on to him and you trust him and you lean on him and you hope in him even to that moment of your death. That's why a translation from Mark 13:13, I believe, is a little misleading, to say that salvation is reserved for those who stand firm to the end. You see, because if that were the best translation, I'll tell you what, I would be scared. Because I have a hard time standing firm at all, let alone till the end. I have a hard time standing firm when an extra bill comes in the mail that I wasn't expecting that month, let alone false Christs and false prophets appearing. I have a hard time standing firm worrying about my children's health, and their faith, and their safety, and their future, and their financial stability, and all that stuff, let alone my children betraying me, or rebelling against me, or plotting to have me killed. I have a hard time standing firm in my faith and trust in God amidst the common minutia of life, let alone the collapse of the entire world. No, if standing firm is a prerequisite for salvation, I'm in trouble. And my guess is that you are too. But it's not a prerequisite, because our salvation is based on Jesus. It's not based on us. It depends on his forgiveness won at the cross, not our righteousness here on this earth. It comes as a result of the object of our faith, who's Jesus. Not on the basis of the strength or the size or the stoutness of our faith. And thus, even a person with a faith as small as a mustard seed, even that person can move mountains. Because you see, big faith or small faith, the object of our faith is Jesus. And he's the one who actually moves those mountains. The certainty of our salvation is a result of Jesus' death and resurrection for our forgiveness, not the result of how well or how firmly we believe. And thus, Jesus' encouragement to his disciples, his encouragement to all of us, is simply to hang on. Hang on to him amidst the doubts and the fears and the trials and the temptations. Just hang on to him till the end. Do that, and he promises that you will be saved. It doesn't have to look pretty. You don't have to be dominating life. Your witness doesn't have to be so bold and so unswerving that articles about your great faith are written in the Lutheran Witness. You just have to hang on to Jesus. He has, and He will take care of the rest. To God, and God alone be the glory. Amen.